Parashas Truma, here we go. I was approached by one of my dear Talmidim in the recent moments, within the last few days. And they came and they asked me, they said, Rebbe, can I talk to you for a minute? I said, sure. And they said, Rebbe, I'm having a little bit of a hard time. I said, what's wrong? They said, I started Shnai Mikra a little bit on these parashios, and it's a little challenging to get into it. It seems like it's measurements, a lot of different details, and I'm struggling with it a little bit. Can you help me out a little bit? And I answered the person whatever I answered them, and I totally can relate to the challenge of getting into these parashios. It's a little different than the parashios we've seen previously, with a lot of storyline and a lot of different things going on. Kabbalah, Satorah, Kolos of Rakim, and now we come to a Mishkan, and it seems rather redundant at first glance. We're going to have Truma and Tetzava and Vayakel, because four parashios in the Torah that I'm going to discuss, the construction of the Mishkan, the Kalim of the Mishkan. What exactly is the approach? How do we get into it? And how do we learn from it? So I'd like to thank that Talmud for asking me that question. It's a very honest and a very appropriate question. And I think that if we look into the parasha deeply, and we look into the way the Torah describes the construction of these Kalim, of the Mishkan, and of everything involved, there are many very important lessons that we can learn. We have to just learn how to learn it. We have to learn just how to learn it up and learn how to chazal, look at these psukim, look how the Gemara looks at these psukim, and we'll try Be'ez Hashem to focus on one point today that will help us out, I think, in appreciating at least one aspect of the Mishkan, and that's as follows. The Torah describes, after it tells us, at the beginning of the parasha, which materials were needed. Zav, Kesef, Nechoshes. So the Torah then it says, you have to build a Mishkan. The first of the Kalim, the first of the utensils, so to speak, that were created for the Mishkan that was instructed to be created was in Pasuk Yud. The Torah describes the construction of the Aron. Yasu Aron Atzei Shittim. The Torah describes the measurements. We'll get to that in a minute. The Torah describes exactly how you should plate it with gold. And describes the story with the Aron. I'd like to learn, Rabbi Osei, with you, the parasha of the Aron a little bit, and learn three very beautiful and important messages that we can take out from the way the Torah describes the making of the Aron. First things first. Number one, the Torah says as follows: "Ve'asu Aron atzei shittim." What's "ve'asu" mean? And you should make. Rabbi Osei, there's a difference between the way the Torah describes the making of the Aron and the making of every other kli in the Mishkan. How does the Torah you describe the commandment for making every other keli in the Mishkan? The Torah says, "Ve asisa." Oh, Bar Mitzvah Parsha boy, very good. Ari, shout out. Yeah, Bar Mitzvah Parsha. Ve asisa. Right after the Aron comes the. What's next after the Aron? Shulchan, I think. Shulchan comes next. I'm sorry. Ve asisa kapores first. Ve asisa shulchan. Ve asisa menorah. Ve asisa. And here the Torah says, "V'asu." And why "V'asu"? So Mefarshim explained, the Ramban on the spot says as follows. It says, "V'asu Aron." It refers to the entire B'nai Yisrael. Yachzor el B'nai Yisrael Neskar Lamala, everyone of B'nai Yisrael. And what's it coming to tell B'nai Yisrael? It says, "Itachin Sheyirmo," says the Ramban, "Sheyu Kol Yisrael Meshtat V'Masiyas Aron." Every Jew should take part in the making of the Aron. "Ba'avur Shehu Kadosh Mishkanei Elyon, v'sheyizku kulam laTorah." Rabbi Osei, we know the Aron represents Torah. The Aron is the place where the Luchos were housed and stored. The Aron is the semel, is the symbol for Torah. And who is Torah for? Rabbi Osei, our religion believes very strongly. One of the beautiful parts about it is that Torah is open to everybody. It's not for one person. It's not meant for the elitist. It's not meant for the upper class of society, for the Rabbonim, for the Gedolim. Every person has a chilk in Torah. We say this every day. We say it on Shabbos. We're saying chalkenu b'sora secha. We say it in Davin. Some people say it in Kabbalah also. Shebana beis hamidash mehera b'yamenu. We're saying chalkenu b'sora secha. Who's chilek? I have a chilek. My chilek. Right, that's more to Allah, but yeah, the same concept. In other words, Torah is mufkar to everybody. Torah is for everybody. And that's the first lesson, fellas. You learn the parasha of Asu Aron. Doesn't say Vasisa. Because it tells me that I have a chelek in Torah. I have my chelek in Torah. And my chelek in Torah is not the same chelek as your chelek in Torah. Whereas yours, we each have our own chelek in Torah. That's the first lesson that we could just pull out and appreciate. Wow. Ashreinu matov chelkeinu. Yeah, we each have our own chelek in Torah. And we should appreciate it and focus on it and just marvel at that zchus that we each have our own chelek in Torah. Torah continues. Okay. Vasu aron, you should make an aron. And what are the measurements of the aron? So the Torah describes. Amasayim v'chetzi arko. 2.5 amos orech. What's orech? Length. V'ama v'chetzi rachpo. 1.5 amas width. V'ama v'chetzi komaso. Another ama and a half high. What's unique about the measurements of the aron as opposed to other things? If you look at the other measurements. For example, let's go to the neck. Let's go to the shulchan. The asisa shulchan atei shitim. I'm a sayim arko. The amarach po. What do you have over there? 2, 1. Here you have 1.5 and 2.5 and 1.5. Every measurement of the aron is a half. What's the lesson from that, Abosai? What can we learn from that? Zakti balaturim. The balaturim says beautifully. I'm a sayim v'chetzi arko. I'm a v'chetzi rachpo. I'm a v'chetzi koma. So, kol midosav hayu shivuros. Every measurement of the ama was a broken measurement. Bechatzai amos, but half amos. Lelame, to teach us. Shekol mi shelome Torah. Any person that wants to learn Torah, tzarech l'shaber u'lahashpil atzmo. He has to be like the measurements of the Aaron. He has to humble himself. He has to break himself. He can't sit on his big high horse and say, oh, if it doesn't make sense to me, it doesn't exist. If it's not proven scientifically, it doesn't exist. No. A person has to approach Torah with a certain thirst, with a certain humility, with an appreciation that this is something godly. This is something that's beyond my seichel. I don't have to understand every single point. I'll try my best. I work hard. I'm going to try my best to figure out the pshat and the machlokas between the Rabbi Natam and the Riva. Whether we say Kol Olam Gavar, whether we say Yachloku, what the Lomdus is, we'll work on that our best. We have to understand that it's a higher plane. We have to understand we approach with Chatzai Midos. We have to understand we approach Torah with a sense of humility. That we don't necessarily have to chop every single point, and that it's above us. And if we, whatever we get is a gift. And that's a very, very important lesson that we could take out from just understanding, reading the Torah and saying, yeah, it's Chatzai Midos. You want to get it? Humble yourself. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein's Hatzal was known. He was a very short man. Very, very short. I don't think he was 5 feet. Maybe it was 5 feet. He was very humble. Parenthetically, many of the Gedolim were very, very short. The Chavetz Chaim was for sure not 5 feet. And many, many Gedolim were very short. And Gedolim, one of the trademarks of Gedolim as well, is humility. I'm not saying you have to be short to be humble. It's possible to be tall and humble as well. But the point is, it's a good mashal. Exactly, I agree with that 100%. But the point, Rabosa, is Rav Moshe Feinstein was known for his humility. And someone once asked him, how did he get that humility? Like, you know, how did it come from? And he said, it was a life process. Whenever I met somebody, I always thought there was something that they have that I don't have that's better than me. If they're wealthier than I was, they gave more tzedakah than I do. If they were as poor, if they were not as wealthy as I am, they're closer. They daven to Hashem better than I do because they need Hashem. They look to Hashem more than I do. If they were whatever it was, bigger bali chesed, he always saw a quality of the next person that was greater than his own. If we look like that, that's a way to increase humility because a person can't have Torah in a real sense without approaching with humility. But I want to focus both on the third lesson I think we can learn from the Aron. A very, very essential, important nekuda that I think we have to internalize into our lives that we can learn from the Aron. And that's in the next pasuk. The Torah says in pasuk Gedalah Perek Chavei that Tzipisa Oso Zahav Tahor, and you should cover, you should plate the Aron with pure gold. Mibayis u'michut tetzapena. Mibayis means inside. Michut means outside. The Torah says that you have to put gold not only on the outside of the Aron, but on the inside as well. What's the lesson from this piece? The Gemara says in Maseches Yuma, On Daf Ayin Beis and the Beis, the Gemara says as follows: Mibayis u'michutzus apenu. What's the teaching that we can learn from the fact that not only was the outside of the Aron plated with gold, but inside as well? Amar Rava, says the Gemara, called Talmud Chacham, she'ein tochol kivaro, eino Talmud Chacham. Any Talmud Chacham whose inside doesn't match his outside is not a Talmud Chacham. Again, any Talmud Chacham whose inside doesn't match his outside is not a Talmud Chacham. He could be a genius. He could be a brilliant scholar. But if his midos fellows are krum, if his inside world is off, then there's something flawed about his chachma. We learned this many times over the course of this year already in different settings and contexts. It's not Torah l'chud and midos l'chud. It's not my external appearance is one way and what's going on inside is something else. What we have to try to work on, fellas, is to try to internalize the Torah and have the Torah become a part of our essence, of our inside. That it's not just an intellectual exercise that we learn. Yeah, I learned about so-and-so, but that has nothing to do with me. Chas v'shalom. It has to be the Torah on the outside and Torah on the inside is Zav Tor. Rabosai, Rabbi Schneider Shlita, told me a few minutes ago about a fellow, maybe you may have heard of him. I don't know the whole story. Maybe you guys know more of the details than me. I think his name was Bertrand Russell. He was a big professor of ethics in one of the most prestigious colleges in the world. I'm not sure which one it was. One of the big Ivy Leaguers, for sure. And he taught ethics for many, many years. And towards the end of his career, he was found having an inappropriate, seriously inappropriate relationship with one of his students. And he was approached and said, "Mr. Ethics, Professor of Ethics, I don't get this. How could it be? You're a professor of ethics, and with one of your own students, you're acting this way. How could it be? Are you talking? How could it be?" I don't know if they said, "Are you talking to him?" Probably not, because he probably wouldn't understand that. But is it possible? Is it conceivable? Listen to his response. He said, "Did anybody ever ask a math professor why they weren't a triangle? Or a parallelogram?" Probably not. Because a math professor teaches math. He doesn't become a triangle. I teach ethics. What does that have to do with my life? And the way I live my life? Yoel, I agree with you 100%. That is not the Torah Hashkafa. The Torah Hashkafa is what we learn, we have to internalize. We have to enter it into our hearts. And what that means, fellas, is as follows. It means we have to make room in our hearts for the Torah and the Torah values to seep in. If our hearts are full already with other things, whatever they are, video games, movies, passions, whatever the things that are filling up our hearts, and there's no room for Torah to come in, it's not going to be a chiddush that maybe externally we're acting one way and internally we're not feeling it. My Schneider also likes to say on a computer there's a delete button. You have a certain amount of memory. On this iPod there's a delete button. I could delete. I want more to go onto this iPod, so I'm going to go ahead and delete something. Otherwise, there's no way to get the information onto this iPod. Our hearts also are filled with stuff. And if we want the Torah to enter and the Torah values to enter, sometimes we have to delete certain things, whatever they are. We daven Takaros Baruch every morning in the bracha of Ezras, Avosein. And what do we say? V'torascha u'dvarcha yasim al libo. We want it to go on the heart. You know why? Because we're hoping that one time, maybe there'll be a minute, that our heart will open up. And when the heart opens up, the Torah will be ready, resting on the heart. So it can seep in when the heart opens up. Rabotai, this lesson of being real, of being through and through, of not having Torah as external and living one way on the outside and inside feeling other way otherwise, is extremely, extremely important. And it requires an honest cheshbon ha-nefesh, Rabotai. It requires an honest looking into oneself and saying to myself, okay, I'm acting a certain way on the outside. Am I up to par on the inside? Do I really feel what I'm doing? Is there a way that I can internalize what I'm doing more, that I shouldn't just be a robot on the outside that's doing actions and not feeling anything on the inside? I both said this message, I can't tell you how important it is. Every message in Torah is important. This message is essential. There's so many challenging things going on in the world. I don't even want to talk about some of them, many of them. This is not a forum for that at all. Rabosai, a person must be honest with himself. A person must be tocho kibaro. A person must realize that as he grows externally, as he grows in his commitment, in his actions, he has to also grow in his heart and his inside. And the inside of a person, Rabosai, reflects what's going on the outside, and it must. How do you say face in Hebrew? Panim. How do you say inside of a person on the inside? Panim. Panim and panim have to be reflection one of the other. It can't be, this is my face and my panim is something else. Now this is a big avoda. It doesn't happen overnight. But fellas, this is the lesson, or a very important lesson of the Aron. We have to take stock and look into ourselves and make sure that Be'ezus Hashem, as we grow as Bnei Torah and we grow in our commitment, we also bring up the inside of ourselves with us at the same time, and that we brzocha to be mibayis and michutz, inside and outside, people which are zahav tahor, which are pure gold, not just on the outside, not just on the external, but also, and probably equally if not more important, in the way that we act as internally. So I say to my dear talmidim, or wondering, how do you learn from these parashios? What do you get? I say you learn them carefully, you learn them with chazal, and you see that there's so many lessons that we could take out from these parashios. We should be zocheh be'ez Hashem to internalize these lessons and all the lessons that we can learn from the Mishkan and from Torah, and be'ez Hashem become people that are mibayis and michutz through and through, zav tor. I both say have a wonderful Shabbos.